And Lord, give people who are in counseling the supernatural power, anointing, and authority and love, the love that can't fail to set these people free. And the difference is what Satan is building in you wants you to have hardness, bitterness, hatred, fear, have to prove something. He's doing everything he can to stop you from ministering in that which never fails, which is love. What God wants to build in us is so simple and so wonderful. It's a house emptied of everything but him. Just full of the Spirit of God, full of his love, wisdom to minister to your children, wisdom to help your spouse find God, wisdom to help other people in ministry, wisdom to help the person in the grocery store, just wisdom. And in that place, you get around that kind of love, and demons are going to come to the surface. Because love should be casting them out, not ego. This is about setting the captive free. Literally, been so grieved in my spirit in some churches that I've been involved in after people have left. And I have personally grieved the Holy Spirit myself as he's been maturing me. The way we've talked about people that God let us help. And if you really stop and look at it, you were doing it more for you than you were doing it for them or for God. And that's why there's been so much hurt and pain and confusion in the ministry of deliverance. So let's do another prayer. I like to deal with it when it comes. You know what I mean? When you feel this kind of, ooh, I think I've done this. And if you haven't, it means you probably have never ministered yet. Or maybe you just have so much hurt that you just never took on a haughty thing at all, which is what was meant for evil turning to good. Say, Heavenly Father, in any way that I've tried to represent you, and it wasn't love, it wasn't your love, it wasn't about your love pouring through me to those that you died for. In any way, Lord, that I have benefited in my self-esteem by ministering, I ask you to forgive me. I want to be pure and holy. I want to be one you can trust with your glory. I want to be one you can trust with your power. Help me to hate using people that you bring to me. And I thank you, Lord, even as I'm changing, even as I'm maturing, you've been able to use me. Sometimes that's amazing. So there's no condemnation. And being who I am, right where I am, and doing all that I know to do for your purposes. But Lord, don't let me be satisfied until it's your love working through me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's almost like he's cleaning some house just to get into today's thing. If you've never been in a true prophetic anointing, then this might be kind of new for you. When you really get in a true prophetic anointing, you're going to see your stuff. Okay? I'm sorry. If anyone calls themselves prophetic and they minister, unless maybe they have a call to, I don't know, maybe they have a call that's not to people, it's just to nations or something. It's almost like, it seems to me in the prophetic move, personally, like we're skipping the people and jumping to the bigger things. It's almost like they'll say, well, Lord, I don't want to deal there because then I'll have to deal with my junk first. So let me just go prophesy to the nations. And I'm not saying God is so faithful. Bible says he's faithful even when we're not. Bible says he can't deny himself. So I'm not belittling those prophecies and what they're doing. I'm not even saying that God's not anointing it. I know he is anointing a lot of it. I know a lot of it he's not. But the bottom line is you can't skip what God wants to do. And Jesus Christ ministered first to the people. He ministered to the believers. His 12 were believers at that time. He ministered to them. And then he ministered publicly the word of God. He ministered publicly proclaiming and getting the people ready for really what his ministers were going to be released to do. They weren't saved yet. Christ hadn't gone to the cross. So those 12 could not do but what Jesus Christ came to represent for the church that was coming. That's why he had to anoint them and send them off in twos. But they took his anointing. They took his power. They took his authority. It was not in them yet. It wasn't in them yet. It couldn't be. It couldn't be in them yet. Because Christ had to die to bring them into a personal relationship with the Father. And for the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. Now, I know it says the Spirit, I don't understand all this. I'll be honest with you, the Spirit was in the womb and jumped and different things, and God had a special anointing on the life of John. That's the only time I personally know that I see that. And, I don't understand all that. But I know that John was not anointed like Christ. He couldn't have been. But there was a presence of God, just like in the Old Testament. That's why the Bible even says that John is the least in the sense of what was coming. Compared to what was coming in Christ, what John had was least. Because he was still old covenant. He was still ministering with a mantle that had to be placed on him instead of the presence and power of God placed in him to make him a child of God. And I'm not going to get, God's fair. He knows what he's doing. He knew that he was going to get his head cut off and all that stuff. And there's just no question that the John, the beloved, was in the perfect will of God with all of it. But I'm just trying to break up your little thinking a little bit to realize we don't understand all this. God is so big. He can do what he wants. But we do understand, if you're a real believer, that Jesus Christ had to die. He had to die. He had to pay for our sins so that the Holy Spirit could come and make his home in us, that we might have God in us, that we might be one with God, that we might pour out from that relationship God into the lives of others, which is what Jesus did. And that's a true Christian. That's the true gospel. That's the true, entire thing behind ministry. Ministry is pouring out what God has placed in you for his purposes. So first we need to let the Holy Spirit come in and sanctify us and change us and build his house in us, so to speak. And we're saying house a lot because it's just this revelation about deliverance that God gave us about houses. And so what we're going to do, where did I want to look at first? I know there's three main chapters. I want to look at Hebrews 3 and I want to look at Luke 11 and Luke 16. And I'm just... They're all good.